There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, and thank you very much for joining us on the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. This is hour two. This evening, our guest has been Grant Wilson from TV show's Ghost Hunters. You can read more about Ghost Hunters and about the guys from the team by going to their website at theatlanticparanormalsociety.com, or you can read their magazine that they put out every month, Taps Paramag, by going to TapsParamag.com. You can get a link there by going to our site at www.darknessradio.com or www.paranormalradioshow. While you're there at our site, please join our forum. It's a growing paranormal forum where people from all over the United States get together, get a chance to talk. They talk during the show live. They're able to share back and forth. And if you have a group that you'd like to post there, so if people are looking for help in their area, they can find a link. That would be much appreciated. This evening, we'd like to welcome one of our new sponsors to the show, CJ Sellers, the medium who is able to help connect you with people that have crossed over. CJ is one of the only people that we've come across in the industry that we feel actually has the ability to do this. She's a phenomenal person and a really great talent. If you'd like to make that connection with somebody that's crossed over to the other side for closure in your personal life, get the help that you need, you can give CJ a call by calling her at 612-839-0866. Again, that's 612-839-0866. You can check out our website for more information at www.cjmedium.com. Again, that's www.cjmedium.com. Make sure to mention that you heard about us or heard about her on our show, and she'll make sure to give you $10 off the cost of a normal reading. We'd like to welcome Grant Wilson back to the show, and we also have a couple other guests joining us this evening. We've got Jason Hawes, the other co-founder of TAPS and the Ghost Hunters television show. Jason, hello. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. And I guess we had Keith. Can you hear him okay, Grant?
Barely.
Okay. Well, we've got both the guys on the line with us. I know we had Keith Johnson on the line, too, holding for a little bit, but I think he let go while we were on the commercial break there. So he might call us back with a question for you guys and to add a little bit as well. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us this evening.
Good to be here.
We've been going along. I got a question for you here, kind of as a follow-up to one of the questions that we did a little bit ago with you, Grant, that you had mentioned about the night vision camera.
Yeah.
And the question is, let me see here. Good grief. Got about 1,000 questions that came rolling in during the break. Here we go. One question asked about the equipment. The guy from Denmark, he responded that you should definitely get a night shot camcorder. And they'd like to know, why does using a camcorder that has infrared switching capabilities have an advantage over regular visible light camcorders? Or why is that required to record footage in the dark? Because if anything, it is possible to change any regular camera, depending on the sensor, to be capable of recording infrared, meaning big savings.
Well, the reason we film a lot of stuff at night is because we catch two different kinds of anomalies. We catch black shadowy type things, and we catch ones that tend to emit some kind of light. The only way to capture both effectively is to use infrared, is to have the lights off. And that way you can catch any small speck of light or you can catch any shape at the same time.
Okay. Have you ever thought about the effects of infrasound and bringing any equipment that might be able to detect it as a debunking device?
Sure. Infrasound can cause sickness and hallucination type things and uneasiness. And we've researched that. We've actually solved some cases by finding that, huh, Jay?
Now, what exactly is infrasound?
Infrasound is, it's like an ultra-low frequency is another term for it. It sounds so low that you can't necessarily hear it. but it will affect you. Actually, the military has experimented with it as non-lethal warfare. It's a frequency that's so low that it actually messes with your head, and you don't hear anything going on.
Okay, well, thank you, Paper Roses, from the Sci-Fi Ghost Hunters Board, for emailing in that question. We appreciate it. As I said, this evening our guests are Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson from the TV show Ghost Hunters. You know, I had a really great question here that was directed to both of you. Let me get to it. It says, why don't we go with Jason on this one first. She said, first of all, she'd like to say hi to both of you and welcome you to the show. And she has the highest respect for what you both do and how you approach the paranormal. Her question is, you guys are always so busy and always on the road a lot. How do your wives deal with the absence? And how do your kids feel about you being gone? Are they able to go on the road with you and visit on location sometimes?
Well, we really don't bring the wife and kids on location, but... You know, our families are very supportive. Our wives have been, 100% behind us through the whole time. If they hadn't been, TAPS wouldn't exist today. You know, but when we're home, yeah, we do spend a lot of time on the road. I'll definitely admit to that. But when we're home, we make the best of it. You know, it's all for the family. So we try to make up for any lost time.
How about you, Grant?
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, I love my family dearly. And, Jay and I work really hard to make sure that we can get back to them and see them after we spend some days on the road. We don't like to be gone too long. We like to make sure we can get back at least for a couple days and then get back out to filming.
Now, are you guys both still working for Roto-Rooter, really, in the sense of it being a daily job? I know we just saw that on one of the episodes. I think it was this last episode. You guys were back to work doing it. Or is that more just for, you know, kind of showing you guys on the job during the day kind of situation?
I can't tell if he's talking or not. As far as, yes, we do still work for Roto-Rooter. Obviously, the things you see on the show, you have to set up the cameras and everything, so it looks kind of fake, but we actually fix the things that you see us fixing.
Okay.
So we're really doing some work there.
All right. Jason, got a question for you. This is from RDC3 on the TAPS 18-plus boards. Would like to know, have you ever or would you try a Ouija board experiment where you set up your EMF IR thermometer, thermal camera, IR cameras, etc., and get your team to work the Ouija board and see what happens? Is that something that you've ever considered doing?
See, I've never really toyed around with Ouija boards. It's not that Parker Brother really has an inside scoop on the paranormal world, but it's never been anything that's really interested me because, some cultures in the past, they could draw Ouija boards on the walls or in the sand and so forth. So, to each their own on that. I understand the concept they're trying to get at, but I don't know, Ouija boards... The whole idea behind a Ouija board is you're allowing something to contact you through your psyche, and I prefer not to open myself up and make myself vulnerable to anything.
Well, what about talking to somebody that already does use the Ouija board or feels that it's a useful tool, and you guys recording them using the tool? I mean, is that something that you'd ever consider? Because that is, let's face it, that's kind of the way a lot of people, especially kids, start getting involved in the paranormal. They mess with the Ouija board.
No, I understand that. And, yeah, if somebody's using it, If somebody's very familiar with it and has been using it for a long time, yeah, I would love to try to set something like that up. I haven't gotten around to that point yet.
Okay. On the line with us from the Gulf States Paranormal Society, we have Cinnamon Tatum. Cinnamon, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Cinnamon, who did you have a question for?
Actually, it could be for either one.
Okay.
Hi, Jay, Grant. My question is, before sci-fi and Ghost Hunters came along, was there a time, if ever, that you didn't take a case for a certain reason? And if so, how did you break it to the person requesting the investigation?
Well, that's a good question. What she'd asked, just to kind of recap, is before you guys were on the TV show and had this going on, was there ever an investigation that you refused to take part in? Is that what I'm understanding, Cinnamon?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Jason, how about you?
I can't really hear her, but no, when it comes down to it, I've investigated any time there's been claims that somebody's been fearful of a situation or children have been involved or anything, I've always done the case. There's never been a case that I refused to do or I didn't feel, comfortable enough doing. So, the door's open on that one.
Great.
There are a lot of cases you get. We get a lot of our cases through email, and a lot of them we can solve right there through email or through a phone call. So it's not like every request that comes your way you have to take the drive and go out there.
Great. Well, thank you very much for calling in your question, Cinnamon. We appreciate that. And if you have a question for Jason and Grant, you can give us a call at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. I do have to ask that you stop emailing in questions, as we've got about 2,000 of them sitting here that I doubt we'll be able to get through what we have already. So we'll try to keep moving through the questions that we have and see if we can get through them for you. Now, you guys just mentioned that you know, especially if there's a child involved, you guys want to go check it out right away. And it looks like that's coming up on this next episode. Is there a time or how do you explain to the children involved not to be afraid? You know, I mean, so many parents, I'm guilty of it myself. Oh, there's no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as monsters. Don't worry about it, honey. Just go to bed. How do you help, you know, belay their fears? Grant, what's some suggestions you'd give to parents to do that?
Well, the first suggestion I would give to parents is, if you think there's a haunting in your house, don't talk about it openly in front of your kids. They don't really have the capacity to separate fact and fiction, and they won't understand the subtleties of what you're talking about. It all depends on the age of the child, obviously. But we're talking young children. If your child comes to you and, you know, says they saw something, you know, go ahead and comfort them, but, you know, try and figure out, you know, maybe while they're off playing or something, try and figure out what could have caused him to think of that, or if he just came up with it out of his mind. But when you talk to the kids, you just want to console them. There's a way you can talk to your kids without saying, you know, without confirming or denying what they've said, you know, without supporting or denying it. And you just got to kind of... You know your kids well enough. You just got to kind of play it safe and be tactful about it.
Okay. Jason, we got a question here from Robin Bailey, also known as I Live to Write on the Boards. And she says, since your show is one of the reasons for the increased popularity of people wanting to do paranormal investigations, have you guys ever thought about teaching classes at like a college level or proper procedures in the field? She says she loves you guys. The whole family loves to watch a show and keep up the great work.
Well, thank you very much. We have thought about doing that. At one time, Salve Gina out here in Newport wanted us to do a class. The problem is when they pass it up the chain, a lot of times it gets lost in that. And I would love to do that. I would really love to actually do a class on the paranormal, do a class on equipment, techniques, everything. You just got to find the right school and the one that's open to the possibilities of doing that.
Okay.
We have done that at Penn State, right, Jay? I mean, we've done that for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah, we used to do classes at Penn State, do an actual weekend where we'd have, you know, 5 or 6 different classes going of all different things. And we do that for a Saturday and a Sunday. But, of course, since the show, it's been a little crazy for us, so it's not like we can be there for multiple days. So we go down and we do a paranormal conference. And we speak there, and you were actually with us last time, Dave. You got to witness the conference, and what'd you think?
Oh, you know, as I mentioned in the first hour with Grant, it was a great opportunity. I'd recommend for anybody, probably one of the best conferences out there is the Penn State Conference, which I believe is booked for the first weekend in October. And according to the schedule, I think you guys are both booked to show up for one of the days again. That's a great conference, and it's a great opportunity to see these guys, get to hear their ideas, their tips. And you know what? What I was really impressed by, too, is that you guys listened to what the audience had to offer you, and you thought that there was some great advice and information coming from the audience as well to use in your future investigations. But, yeah, there were so many great people at the conferences to talk to get some great paranormal information from. I would definitely highly recommend checking out the conferences. And check our boards, too, at darknessradio.com and probably over at the Atlantic Paranormal Society.com. They usually post different things about upcoming conferences, so there are stuff and news out there for you if you have an interest in attending. I know there's one coming up in Alton, Illinois, and I believe it's in May. There's the Utah Ghost Hunters program coming up at the beginning of May. There's different New York, I think, has got the Supernatural Summit coming up not too long from now. So there's plenty of different places for you to go out and seek help and get this information. But yeah, I think you guys would be wonderful teachers to sit down with and actually listen to. Because you're not like you appear on the show. and I think you guys would be a great set of teachers because you really bring it down to a very normal level. And, you don't come off as kind of the goofy paranormal investigators people might expect you to be, kind of out there on the fringes. You're very normal guys. You're a couple of plumbers who investigate ghosts, and that's really who you are.
Yeah, and we've been talking for a long time now, Dave, and I think that even you can verify that we've never changed. We're the same people that we were long before the show, and that we're going to be those people until the day we die.
Well, Grant did make me peel his grapes for him when I was out at Penn State. That was still humiliating.
Yeah, but I made you get me all blue M&M.
That's
so
right.
What does it matter?
On the flip side, if you ever get a chance to meet Dave here, he's awesome. he was a great guy.
Hey, I'm a hell of a photographer, huh? I think everybody's pictures you see from the Penn State Conference of Jason and Grant, that's Dave Schrader Photography, I think.
That is.
We've got a call on line two here for you. And Tracy, why don't you go ahead and ask your question? I'm going to probably have to repeat it so to make sure the guys can hear what's going on. But go ahead with your question.
Hi. I had a question for you guys. I know that you believe very much in using the equipment to find every answer possible for the investigations you do. What I was wondering, has there ever been an investigation that you did that the equipment couldn't give you any answers for, and it shook you so much that you weren't sure you want to continue investigating from that point on, that it just scared you so bad you were afraid of bringing something home to your family, or it just almost made you where this just wasn't something you wanted to do anymore?
I think when they met me, they were afraid I'd follow them home to their families. But
I've never been. I probably speak for Jay on this, too. I don't think we've ever been to a case where we've actually been scared, where we actually felt like we wanted to get out of there, or that we were going to bring something home with us. I don't think we've ever felt that way.
Hey, Tracy, thanks for that question. Why don't you go on hold here? We're going to have Robin the phone gal take your information. We're going to get you out an autographed copy of Tapps Para Magazine. We thank you very much for calling in your question this evening. Okay. All right. Now, Jason, with that question, I don't know if you were able to hear it. Have you ever been out in an investigation, maybe kind of a variation of that question, where you felt once you got done with the investigation, you just kind of almost wanted to quit doing what you guys do?
Well, I've never really had a case to that extent. We did have a case out in New Jersey that all the equipment we brought in, whether it be battery operated or we plugged it in, we could not keep working. It would not stay on. Even our watch batteries went dead. The furniture had a tendency to move around by itself, which was really startling. Because I'm not too big on when things move by themselves. It's just that's one of my pet peeves, because you never know what to expect. And that case was definitely, that case definitely worked me to the point where I was like, wow, I just need to get out of this house. But, I'd get out of the house for an hour or two, take a break, then come back. We eventually turned it over to the Catholic Church, and they resolved the issues. But, so that was definitely one of those cases that really makes you wonder.
Isn't that kind of like a paranormal investigator's ultimate dream, though, to walk into a place where stuff's moving and sounds are coming and crazy stuff's happening? I mean, wasn't that, were you kind of giddy like a kid at the time? You're kind of like, holy crap, Grant, look at this. This stuff's actually going on here.
Well, you were, but then it comes down to a fact where you couldn't get any equipment to work. So you can't even verify this. You can't even gather your own evidence or evidence to put out there for the real world. So, in the same regards, yeah, you're ecstatic to be there, but you're also to the point where you're just like, what can I do?
When your equipment, usually when you've got some crazy stuff going on, your equipment won't work, and that is the most frustrating part of this field.
Do you ever feel, though, that, well, maybe you can even answer it with that question, with what occurred that time. What was it? I know you have the confidentiality, but not knowing more about it, can you tell us, was it a demonic? Was it an inhuman that was doing this? Or was it a bunch of stuff going on?
Well, my beliefs on that was that it was an inhuman haunt. We turned it over to the Catholic Church. Upon checking with them, I had heard that they were back three times before the problem stopped. So they had performed actual, exorcisms of the home three times before they got it to stop. So, you know, to my beliefs, it sounded like something inhuman negative. And, you know, and that's such a rare, rare case of activity. I think, you know, too bad Keith isn't on the line. Me and Keith worked on a case a long time ago up in Maine that was of the same, you know, a lot of strange activity. And it was a negative haunting. It was an inhuman haunt. But, you know, out of the 15 years I've been doing this, I've probably seen maybe three or four of those cases that have been out there like that. Where, of course, a lot of other people believe that most cases that they investigate are inhuman. So,
all right. Well, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our guests this evening are the Sci-Fi Channel hit TV show host Ghost Hunters. We've got Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson with us. Got a question for you guys to ponder while we go to a quick break here. This is a great question coming in from Lisa from North Carolina. She's also known as Halloween Queen on your boards. She was wondering if Jason or Grant, have you guys ever had a disagreement over an investigation or over evidence? We'll let you guys chew on that question. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
If you read Tap-Tap-Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show. I'm Dave Schrader, along with me, my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. Our guests this evening are from the TV show Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel every Wednesday night. You can catch brand new episodes every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And before that, there's a rerun of the previous week's show from 8 p.m. Eastern. Then you can catch the brand new show at 9 p.m. There are already two episodes into the last nine for season two here, so make sure you tune in and check out the episodes. If you missed last week, it will be rerun again this week. Left you guys with a question before we went to break, and Grant, why don't we start with you? They were wondering if you and Jason ever had a disagreement over an investigation or over evidence.
Well, a lot of times, Jay and I will, most of the time we agree, and because we shared a lot of the same experiences, but you know, every once in a while we'll look at it from two different angles, but we always seem to find a common ground. It seems, you know, we talk about and discuss, you know, we're always pretty much in accordance by the end of the conversation.
Okay, Grant or Jason, is that pretty much how you feel?
I didn't hear a word he said.
He said that he thinks that you're usually wrong on most investigations, and that he has the right information.
Well, now I know Grant too well, and he would have never said that.
No, he just basically said that, yeah, usually you guys come to some kind of agreement that even if you're not exactly on sync, you guys can kind of look at it from different angles and talk about it and come to a conclusion together.
Well, you know what? Me and Grant have a real close friendship. We've been friends for a long time, and, you know, we agree most of the time on most of the things, but even when we don't, you know, we both have the utmost respect for each other. So, you know, we're willing to talk it out. We're willing to listen to the other side's thoughts and theories on it and try to meet in the middle.
All right, we've got another question here, and this is from Kevin from the Sci-Fi Boards. He's also known as Captain Dingleberry.
okay.
Good question. Well, and this is kind of bringing up some... this is bringing up a couple of really good questions. He wanted to know... why you don't use the scientific method on investigations of multiple camera shots of the same phenomena taken simultaneously. That would move your evidence from, you know, one-off anomalies to actual empirical evidence. He wants to know why you guys don't do more of that.
Well, it's hard to know exactly where that anomaly is going to happen. So, I mean, if you start setting up multiple camera angles all over a house, you've just tripled doubled or tripled the amount of review time, which, you know, you've got to balance that with the guys, or else they turn into zombies and want to eat your brains.
Okay.
They handle it.
What about places like that one house you did where the doors between, like, the closet and the bedrooms kept opening and shutting?
Mm-hmm.
Once you've seen that happen a couple times, I would think maybe you'd put one camera on one door, one camera in the middle room, one camera on the other door, and have multiple camera angles to kind of see what's opening and shutting these doors, to kind of quell the skeptics and yourself. You guys were even questioning how that was happening and was checking to make sure there was nobody hidden behind mattresses or in the clothes in the closet opening up the doors.
Well, you got to also understand that we didn't actually see that happen while we were there. I mean, Jay thought he heard the door open, but it was still closed. It was after that when we reviewed the evidence that we really saw that. And, you know, if we got a chance to go back and investigate there, that is certainly what we would do, of course.
Okay, well, I know that the guys went back. I thought Steve went back to investigate the doors again during the light time so they could check the latches and check all that stuff.
Yeah, we did. We went back during the daytime right before we went and talked to them again. And, we found that it was very difficult to do.
Now, Jason, maybe you could answer this part of the question, and I think this is a valid question, and hopefully you guys don't feel put off by me throwing you a couple of the questions like this, but Kevin would also like to know, he felt that you guys, especially in this last episode, kind of led the witnesses by asking them, do you ever get dizzy in the attic, or was it the basement where you had that the electrical box, which was putting off really high EMF? You know, it was kind of like leading them, telling them how you're doing it. And then you also mentioned it to other crew members and asked them to go check it out. He was wondering, wouldn't it have been better to just send them down there, find out what they experienced, if anything, and that would have held more weight in the eyes of the skeptics if they could come down and say, boy, we got really dizzy up there and this happened and we saw that moving or whatever, and it corroborated instead of you telling them what was going on up there.
You know what, and I totally agree with him. We probably never should have said anything to Brian and Steve or even the homeowner. But to be honest with you, the least thing you're thinking about when you're on an investigation is appeasing the skeptics. You know, you're there trying to figure out what's going on. And you know what, there's no argument there. He's correct. We should have never brought up to Steve or Brian the experiences we're having upstairs, let them go up and see if they had their own. But then again, you know, if some people, of course, would say that even if we didn't tell Brian and Steve, you know, so we must have done it off camera if they had their own experiences up there. So sometimes you just can't win.
All right.
But I do agree with him. You know, we probably never should have said anything to Brian and Steve when we sent them up there. But it's just that was the furthest thing from our mind. We just wanted to see if they want, just tell them what we had happened and send them up to see if they got the same experiences. So he's correct. There's no argument there.
Right. Now, I noticed, too, though, I mean, you know, to kind of throw your own words back at you said you're not trying to quell the skeptics, yet you guys claim to go into these things skeptical, trying to disprove what's going on. And I know that the one episode with Andy Andrews from last season, it might have been the first part of season two, where the person supposedly hung themselves at the top of the stairs and you know, people supposedly get lightheaded and everything, and they explained that to Andy, and as soon as he went up there, he started to experience it. And I know that drew a lot of fire from people that watched the show because they felt he was just overacting it. You know, and that was brought up at that point, that why tell them about what happened or what other people are experiencing if you just said there's some activity known going on up in this area by the staircase. Go up and check it out and get some readings.
Typically, that's what we do. I mean, typically, Jay and I give very little information, but when you're filming a TV show, that kind of is what screws it up. I mean, you're talking about things out in the open where other people can watch because you got a camera in your face, where normally you wouldn't say those things, you know? But they want to interview you about, you know, hey, what happens here and what happens there, and, you know, that happens. But, you know, you got to fill your team in on some of what's going on. And so they can kind of be alert and aware for what, like, if you can't, if I tell Andy, look, go up here, people feel lightheaded, Andy's the type of guy that would typically go up there and try to find a reason why people would become lightheaded, not become lightheaded himself, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So you got to give them some information so they can debunk as they go.
What, I've had a lot of people ask me, too, what happened to Andy? He hasn't been on much this season. Is he still part of TAPS?
Andy? Yes, he is.
Is he buried in Jason's basement? What happened to him?
Andy had some personal things that he was going to do. I believe he was looking to, you know, probably start a family or something. But he had some personal things he wanted to do, and the show was too demanding. Like I said, 2.5 weeks for one episode. And he's still in tap, but, you know, he's got other things going on.
Okay, so it's just more along lines or doing more personal investigations where they don't have to be on call for 2.5 weeks.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. We've got a question here on line two. We've got Amy calling in. Amy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Amy, go ahead. What's your question?
Hi, Jay. Hi, Grant. My name's Amy, but I'm host Steaming Kitty on the board. And my question for you is, if you've ever had any odd or interesting or scary experiences with when you go to an investigation and a homeowner has, like, animals, pets, have you had any experiences that are weird or odd with that?
Well, there was that cat with the whistling nose last season,
yeah.
Wasn't there?
That was the same lady that asked us to pet her invisible, was it a dog, Jay?
There was an invisible dog there, too, Jason?
Oh, at which house? Oh, the Linda Johnson house?
The house with the cat with the whistling nose?
Yeah, and she kept on asking me to pet her invisible dog and invisible cat. So, yeah, there were some strange issues, but we've dealt with cases that there have been some strange issues with animals. But you know, it's funny, we had one case a long time ago where the people believed that they had a haunting, and because their cat would constantly scratch at this one wall, and I don't even know where they drew the conclusion from, but, you know, animals, people who lived in the house before, how do you know the cat, their cat or their pet didn't spray that area? So there's many factors that can go on. There's also, you know, mice that can be in the floorboards and so forth.
Great. Well, we're going to go to a quick break here. We're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our guests this evening are Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson from the TV show on the Sci-Fi channel Ghost Hunters every Wednesday night. We'll be back with more of your questions right after this.
Good. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight. We don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet. But give us a call at 651-628-4000 and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
If you read Tapster Mag every month, You'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy.
Tap's Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Do you hear loud moans and banging on your walls? Next time, pay for the better hotel room.
Oh, no more Yankee, my winky. The donga needs food.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with your hosts, Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. We've got on the lines with us this evening Jason Hawes from the Ghost Hunters TV series. Also, Grant Wilson, who is one of the co-hosts and co-founders of the TAPS organization and Ghost Hunters. You can look for more information about those guys and about the show by going to two different locations. One is you can go to the Sci-Fi board, which is at www.sci-fi.com. ghosthunters.com, and then click on the Ghost Hunters link so that you can go check out their bulletin board and information there, news about the show. You can also check out the website for the Ghost Hunters, their actual official website, which is at the Atlantic ParanormalSociety.com. That's the Atlantic ParanormalSociety.com, all one word. You just go to that website and you can look up information about them, join their great bulletin board series. Talk to some fantastic people from all over the world that check in over on that site. We've been taking your emailed questions and phone calls this evening. We appreciate all the calls that we've been getting, and we appreciate all of the questions that you've emailed in. I've got some questions coming up here from Patricia, also known as Eastford on the TAPS boards. And we've got about three or four questions lined up from Patricia. We've got some really great questions. If you do have questions, you can give us a call in, too. It's 612-375-1400. Jason, got a question for you here from Patricia. What is the one thing that you'd like to accomplish as a ghost hunter or a TAPS member?
Well, definitely bringing some credibility to the field, I think, is the most important thing. Also, you know, the main goal for TAPS is just that, bringing credibility to the field, helping out those who need help, and just education of this. Trying to bring the best people together. You know, we're bringing people, forensic scientists, nuclear physicists, people who build communications equipment for the government. All these people are part of this group, and there's people from many other great fields that are parts of other groups that are parts of the TAPS family network. I think that's huge. It's really benefiting this field.
Okay, and then Grant, maybe you can answer this one from Patricia, also known as Eastford on the TAPS boards. She says that parapsychologists have come a long way in the last 100 years. Where do you see the field of parapsychology in the near future? For example, new technology that's provided new opportunities to collect data, previously unknown explanations are being studied, et cetera.
Part of that can be answered by what Jay said. It's if we can produce a field that is respectable enough to have scientists, inventors and such risk their reputation to help find answers, that's where we need to be. And then the field of parapsychology will be respected, and because we'll have some conclusive evidence and some more than just theories.
Who do you guys consider mentors in the field of parapsychology? I know, Jason, you've mentioned in the past guys like John Zaffis as one of your mentors. How about you, Grant? Who's really been a mentor for you in this field?
Not to sound cheesy, but Jay. I mean, I really don't put too much into any one particular person. I mean, I pick what I can use from everybody, and if anyone's taught me the most, I'd have to say it was Jay.
All right. Jason, was there anybody else besides John Zaffis that you felt was really kind of a stand-up role model for you to do this type of investigations?
Well, John Zaffis is a good friend of mine. He's a personal friend. I respect the man. We might not believe, we might not agree on a lot of matters, but you know what? He was there from day one when I got involved in this field. You know, his research, of course, differs from mine. You know, I used to read a lot of things by Hans Holzer, and, you know, actually Troy Taylor's a good friend of mine, a real nice guy. You know, these I respect pretty much the people in the field who are in there for the right reasons. And, you know, there's also a lot of bad in this field, too. I think we all know that.
Yeah. And, Patricia, thank you very much for that string of questions. Because you were kind enough to think up those questions and get them into us this evening, we're going to get you an autographed copy of TAPS Para Magazine. We'll get it autographed by the guys. Thank you very much for writing in those questions. On the line with us, guys, we've got another gentleman you might be familiar with. Keith, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Hey. Good. How you doing, guys?
All right. Now, Keith, for everybody that's just tuning in, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. We've got with us Jason and Grant from the Ghost Hunters, and Keith, the demonologist, has just joined us as well. And I do apologize, Keith, you're on the one line that they have a little bit of trouble hearing back from, so I'll try to convey your messages back and forth.
Okay.
But what was the purpose for your call this evening?
Well, I just want to tell them that, say hi to the guys and wish them my support and everything. Tell them I recently got a compliment. Somebody accused me of being too scientific.
I don't know if you guys heard that, but he said that he wanted to just you know, say hi to you guys and tell everybody in the group hello from Keith, and that he actually got a compliment lately because he's been too scientific doing his investigations.
Well, you know, Keith is one of the best people I know. He's a real close friend. As a matter of fact, me and him were supposed to hook up the other day. We've been on the phone numerous times this week. But, you know, one of the greatest guys in the field, and what most people don't even know about Keith, is the guy's got a photographic memory, which kind of, it's a good thing, but it'll drive you crazy during long car rides.
Walking is Wikipedia.
What was that, Grant? Go ahead.
We call him the walking, or the human encyclopedia.
The human encyclopedia?
Yeah, he comes up with the craziest what? Stuff.
Well, yeah, Keith has been nice enough to do one of the episodes of our show with us, and then he came on to talk a little bit with Brian. Yeah, he's been a fantastic guy, and you know, if you have information that you'd like to contact Keith with as well, you can check out his website by going to near.s5.com. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, and there you can find information about Keith and about his organization, because as we had a question a little bit earlier, Keith, I don't know if you tuned in at the beginning of the show, people were wondering where you've been and how come you haven't been on more of the episodes. Grant said, you know, they try to call you in and call you in when there's a need for somebody that has your skills in the demonology department to deal with that type of things, and there just hasn't been that many calls for it this season. Mm-hmm. But people can keep in touch with you and find out what's going on in your world by contacting you at your website, correct?
Yes, sure. I'm around when needed.
Great.
Just send up the bat signal.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for calling in tonight.
Okay. Thank you, guys, and God bless.
Take care.
Take care. Bye bye.
Now, guys, going forward with the series, I mean, have you heard yet word? You know, with how well you're doing with the new episodes that have been airing, are they going to go with a season 3 or a season 4, whichever they're considering coming up with next?
Well, we do get an idea of how well the show does, and it's doing very well, and but they have yet to officially ask for more, so we'll find out. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll want more.
All right. Ginger Overstreet, also known as Ginger Faith over at the Taps Boards, wants to know if you guys are planning on returning to Waverly Hills to do any further investigating.
Well, you know what? I'd love to return to Waverly Hills and check it out, actually off camera. I would just have a blast. The people there were just wonderful, and the building's so interesting. Yeah, I have plans on going there eventually in the near future. Hopefully I can get there up there maybe this summer.
Okay. How about you, Grant? I mean, is that one of the places you felt stuck out for you as paranormal, or?
Of course. I mean, the place was just amazing, and the people there, like Jay said, were great. I would have no reason not to go back there. I would definitely check it out. I would love to do it, like Jay said, off the show, and that way you can really, really get to the bottom of it.
Now, Stacy, known as Animus on the boards here, wanted to know, she says, most paranormal shows on TV today are often overly dramatic and seem to offer very little besides feelings and personal experiences. They expand people's awareness of the paranormal, but they seem to, you know, at times to come off as hokey, and they don't help make the field, at least in her opinion, they don't help to make the field appear any more legitimate. Your show seems to stand alone in its outlook, trying to disprove rather than prove and using scientific processes to do so. She also says there seems to be a lot of snobbery out there from people who have degrees in parapsychology or other such paranormal fields. And she feels that you guys are setting a great standard, but have you encountered this attitude from other researchers, and how have you grown to handle it?
Well, we tend to get a little bit of everything, and I like to take the constructive criticism, you know. If someone out there wants to attack how we're doing it, at least come to us humanely and tell us what we can do to improve rather than just ranting about it to us. But, you know, there's all sorts of people out there, and, you know, you can only... We do the best, you know, and we've never claimed to be the best. I mean, we're just doing the best that we can.
Well, now you guys can kind of come to the aid of these other shows as well. I mean, I know they're on competing networks, but a lot of what gets on TV is for the dramatic appeal and you know, may not be the best part of the investigation or have been the best evidence, but it was something dramatic and exciting, so they air it, and they could be, like you guys are a lot of times, just kind of the victims of bad editing. You know, I mean, do you guys, I know that you stray away from using psychics and mediums. Do you think that there's a place for that in an investigation, to bring a psychic or medium along, as long as you can test and be able to find the same type of readings as, you know, maybe EMF or EVPs, photographs, more thermal cam stuff, while the psychic is supposedly tuning into these things? Do you think that helps the field, or?
Well, I think that it's certainly okay to bring someone as long as they don't get too dramatic, and as long as they're just kind of like used, pardon the term, as like a bloodhound. You know, tell us where you think we should take a picture or where we think we should do this. I mean, that's fine to try and help them verify their own abilities, but, you know, we want evidence that we can show the homeowner that will speak for itself, and we just don't want to string off a bunch of feelings or thoughts.
What about, you know, with the technology that you guys have been using in the equipment, one of the ones that seems to be a really dramatic item that you've been using is that thermal camera. You guys have been picking up some phenomenal anomalies on that, to use a term, you know, whether it be that ghost that appeared in the locker door or, you know, the whatever it was running across the hallway there. And, you know, I mean, how come you guys don't set that up in a room where there's supposedly a lot of paranormal activity, or maybe even go back into that hallway where you saw the thing run from the one room to the other? Why wouldn't you set up the camera there and let it record overnight as well?
Actually, we do, Dave.
That,
we,
yeah.
We set, is Grant talking? I don't want to.
No, nope, that's
on.
Fine.
Go ahead.
But yeah, we do. We set up the camera in the hallways. We set it up in active rooms and just let it roll. But they're not going to show that if we don't catch anything on camera, because why show, you know, 4 hours of footage that has nothing on it?
Okay, great. So you do use it as that. It's, I know that's a great question, I thought, because people do see you guys usually only using that when you're walking around, and that
no,
seems to be when you catch stuff.
Well, just like a lot of times they don't show, they show the guys walking around with the point-and-click thermometers when there's actual, we have thermometers sitting in rooms that are taking a lot of the data. It's taking the temperature of those rooms that we have cameras on that we're able to see if there's a high fluctuation. But, you know, because that's not anything that's, you know, exciting happening right then, they don't really show it. So, because they just want to show people walking around with a point-and-click thermometer. For whatever reason, hey, to each their own.
Do you feel that with all the technology that's coming out there, I mean, do you need all the thermal cameras and the night vision cameras and all that stuff to do these investigations? I mean, can people still do a valid investigation by just going in and, you know, if doors are swinging, making sure that they're just hinged right or they're hung right, or if the pipes are rattling, maybe have somebody come in and check that kind of stuff?
I highly believe you can. When we started Taps Off, we started off with nothing but two Hi8 cameras. Well, I think actually back then it was the big VHS camcorders, but you know, we had two camcorders and a cassette recorder, and we caught some great footage way back then. You know, just over the years we've upgraded to, you know, better equipment. So anybody can do, you know, perform their own investigations. They don't need to have, you know, $300,000-$400,000 worth of equipment to do so.
Okay.
All you need is a camera and common sense.
Wow, where do you get that common sense? I know a lot of people that should pick that up.
Hey, Mark. Wish I knew.
Well, we'd like to thank Pamela. She's known as, I guess, Blondie99 on the Taps boards. We'll thank her again for the question about the thermal camera, because that was a great point. I know that I've had a lot of people bring that up to me and why we don't see more of a use of that, you know, in the field. So thank you very much for that, Blondie, and we'll get you an autographed picture of the magazine, or an autographed picture of the magazine. We're not going to give it to the magazine. We're just going to take a picture of one and send it to you. But we'll get you an autographed signed copy of the Taps Para magazine as well for that. So thank you very much for being a part of the show this evening and calling in, or I'm going to say writing in the question. I got a question here from Michelle H. from the Taps Boards. I wanted to say thank you guys for joining us on the radio show tonight. She has a few questions. If there's any place in the world left that you guys really desire to investigate, she says if it's ever in the UK, she'd be more than happy to show you guys around. But where is a place that you guys really, you know, Grant, how about you starting off? Where's a place that would really be someplace you'd love to check out that you've, you know, always dreamt about getting into?
Well, I would love to debunk the crap out of the Amityville house, but I don't know that that's ever going to happen. We've been trying to get in there. They won't let us in, but yeah, Jay and I have talked all the time. I want to go overseas to UK, or even to, you know, like Vlad the Impaler's castle, Dracula's castle. Check that out.
How about you, Grant, or Jason?
Well, I didn't hear Grant's statement.
Amityville. He'd like to debunk Amityville and also check out like Vlad the Impaler's castle over in Europe.
Well, he pretty much just said exactly what I'd be telling you. I'd love to hit Amityville. I think George Lutz was pretty much, well, to be straightforward, full of it, you know, and I would love to get over to, you know, England and, of course, Romania and check out the places over there because they have such a history compared to the U.S.
Now, I know we've asked this question in the past of Jason Grant. How about of you? Has there ever been an investigation that you were on where you really felt fear? Like, it was just really kind of overwhelming to you?
Not so much fear, but not the fear you're thinking. I mean, I've been in a... There was a possession case while I was over in Italy. And, well, let's just say that it you walk in the door and you just don't even know what to do. I mean, there was a 9-year-old girl that was just going crazy with stuff. And I don't want to get into too much detail because it is pretty creepy, but you're just more afraid of her, for her, as you, not for yourself, because you've got to restrain this 9-year-old girl without hurting her body. So, yeah, that was a little overwhelming.
Did that turn out to be an actual possession case or just a case of mental instability?
No, it turned out to be, well, it's kind of hard to prove, but it certainly appeared like a possession case. And she slept for 2 days afterwards, and we found out that her older sister was using black magic and stuff and using her sister in rituals and things.
Hmm.
Nice light topic.
Yeah, really nice light topic. So you know, as advice from you guys, don't use your sister as, you know, voodoo rituals, or, you know, try not to call upon the dark spirits to invade your home, and that might be the best way to not have to deal with the ghost hunters.
That's it.
All right. Are you guys having more and more trouble checking out homes because of your popularity? Do you feel that you're getting more calls from people that just want to be on TV, or do you feel that that there's more people coming out with real paranormal activity and real problems? You know, real quickly, Jason, how do you feel about that?
Well, definitely the show has brought, you know, this field more into the limelight, and with that you get more people contacting you and requesting investigations and so forth. But, you know, but it also, it's an outlet that allows a lot of people out there who never thought there was a place that they could seek out help without spending a fortune. It allows them to know that there's people out there who aren't going to hit them in their checkbook. So, you know, the negatives and the positives are all there.
All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us on the show this evening. You've been listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Make sure to tune in to the brand new episodes of Ghost Hunters every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sci-Fi Channel.